Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue a discussion we began last week. We opened a new series last week. We're going to focus on a prayer Paul prayed for Christians. He recorded it in his epistle to the Ephesians. It's chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. And we're going to examine what Paul prayed in some detail. And I encourage you to pray this prayer for yourself daily. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. Just take that prayer and put your name in there. He prayed for the Ephesian believers, but you can put your name in there, that God would give you revelation and insight in three specific areas. Paul prayed that God would give these people living in the city of Ephesus revelation and insight in three specific areas as they grew to know him more and more. He prayed that they would know the hope of God's calling. He prayed that they would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he prayed that they would know the exceeding greatness of his power toward them, that they would know the hope, that they would know their inheritance, and that they would know his power toward them. Now, we're going to examine each part of that in some detail. We've begun talking about hope. Paul prayed that they would know the hope of his calling, or as the 20th century translation reads, the hope given by God's call. Now, I want to begin by reviewing, because I gave you a lot of information last week, and this week will be based on what we said last week. The hope given by God's call. Hope pertains to the future. It is confident expectation of coming good. God has called believers in Jesus to something which, if they know it, will inspire hope or expectation of good in them. God's called you to something, friend, and if you know what you've been called to, it will give you hope. It will inspire hope or an expectation of coming good in you. Now, to appreciate the future God has for you, and he does have a future for you, because that's what hope is about. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray for these people that they would know the hope they have because they know God. That they would know the coming good that God has for them. To appreciate the future God has for you, you must first understand some things about your past and God's purpose. To appreciate the future God has for you, and he has a future for you. To appreciate the future God has for you, you must understand some things about your past, and you must understand some things about God's purpose. In eternity past, God purposed to have a family, and he chose us to be part of it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, this is at the beginning of the letter where Paul prayed that they would know the hope that God's call gives us. He began this letter by saying that, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, according as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. Lots in that we're not going to address right now, but notice God has chosen us in Christ before the world began. He knew about you before he ever formed the earth. God is all-knowing. Even before you existed, he knew about you. He knew when you'd be born, where you'd be born. He knew what you'd be like, and he chose you to become his son or daughter through faith in Christ. And not only did he choose you, he chose you for a purpose and a plan. He predestinated us. All that means is he decided beforehand. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Adoption there doesn't mean what it means in our culture. Adoption generally in our culture means you get a baby and bring it home and raise it as your own. But in their culture, adoption was a legal proceeding whereby a man who had no male heirs could adopt an adult male who would be given the position of sonship in relationship to that man and would become an inheritor of all that the man had. That's a whole can of worms for another day, but the point here is that God chose us before he ever even formed the earth to become his sons and daughters through faith in Christ. Now that word chosen means to choose out, and it carries the idea of kindness, favor, and love. God, motivated by love, predestined or decided beforehand to make us his sons and daughters. That's your past, friend. You need to know that. That past gives you your purpose. He chose us. Let me read you a few translations here. Weymouth's translation says, he chose us as his own in Christ before the world began to become his holy, blameless sons living within his constant care. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ. When God made Adam, he made a son and a race of sons in Adam. We discussed that last week. If we could trace our genealogy, if the records existed and we could trace our line back to Adam, all of us are descended from Adam, and we were all in him when God created him, in him potentially. He had a kid who 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 eventually had you and me. We were in him potentially. When Adam and man in Adam, however, went into the pig pen of sin, corruption, and death, God lost his family. Jesus came to seek and save God's lost family. We discussed this last week. Why did Jesus say, I've come to seek and save the lost? Why didn't he say, I've come to seek and save dirty, rotten sinners? We are dirty, rotten sinners apart from Christ. I'm not disputing that. But from God's point of view, we were lost to our purpose. We were created to be sons and daughters of God. Well, Jesus came to seek and save God's lost family and restore it to what he always intended it to be. Now, I think I better say this. According to the Bible, there's two groups of people, children of God and children of the devil. By our first birth, we're born into a fallen race, and we are by nature children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says, and we are of our father, the devil. We're born into a fallen race, and the devil is our spiritual father. We have to be born again and become sons of God through faith in Christ by receiving eternal life. Whole cans of worms for another day. I say that because I don't want you to misunderstand me. If somebody does not believe on Jesus, they are not a child of God. Because sometimes you hear people say we're all children of God because we're human. No, you're only a child of God if you have bowed your knee to Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you haven't done that yet, you're a child of the devil and you're actually an enemy of God. But that there's an easy solution, and that is come back to Father's house through the door, Jesus Christ. He's the way back to Father's house. But Jesus called men lost to illustrate the point, several points. Number one, even in our lost and fallen condition, we still have value to God. When you are out there committing all kinds of rank sin, shaking your finger, your fist in the face of God, you still had value to God. How do I know that? Well, Jesus said so. We discussed this in detail last week, but in the context of heaven's response to lost men, Jesus told a parable about a lost sheep and a lost coin. Remember, the Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating with the sinners and the publicans, and Jesus told two parables, one about a lost sheep and a lost coin. And in each case, when the sheep got lost and when the coin got lost, the owner went after it, looking for it, searching diligently for it until he or she found it. And then they rejoiced greatly when they found it. And Jesus said, I tell these parables to illustrate how heaven responds when a lost man or a sinner comes back to God through repentance and faith in Christ. Now, why did the owner search for the sheep and the coin? Well, because neither the sheep nor the coin ceased to be valuable while they were lost. I mean, that's why the owner searched diligently for it until they found it, and why they were happy when they found it. Lost items don't lose their value because they're lost. Their value can't be realized by their owner unless they're found. And then, in that same context, Jesus talked about a lost son who was fully restored to his position as a son because his father loved him. He told the parable of the prodigal son, the son who left home and spent all his father's money on wild, sinful living. He ended up in a pig pen and came to himself, repented, and went back to his father's house, and his father restored him to his position as a son. God knows a perfect you. He knows the you he created in Adam before sin was ever an issue. His first comment about you in Adam was very good. When he surveyed his creation before sin entered in, he declared it to be very good. You existed in Adam potentially. Now, I'm not saying you pre-existed. The only human who's ever pre-existed is the Lord Jesus Christ. He took on flesh in the womb of Mary. He didn't come into existence. You and I did not come into existence until the moment of conception in our mother's womb, but we were in Adam potentially. Although men and women are lost in the pig pen of sin, they're created and loved by God and have the potential to be transformed into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God through salvation. Even in our fallen condition, the Bible says, we still bear the image of God. And Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins so they can be removed and we can be fully restored to our created purpose, sonship, and relationship with God. Salvation is a supernatural transformation and restoration by the power of God. That's our hope. We have a lot to talk about. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.